Hello everyone who's listening. I'm Carl from Top Work, and today I'm doing an interview with Dominic Boniker from We Are Odyssey. And Dominic, would you mind introducing yourself and kind of giving a bit of background and what you do nowadays?
Yeah, so, well, thank you for arranging this. So my name's Dom. I'm the founder and CEO of Odyssey Web Agency. We're a small WordPress agency based in Cardiff. We've just celebrated our third birthday now, so yeah, currently a team of five, and yeah, it's been a good 3 years so far. I'd say it's ups and downs and left and rights, especially with the kind of pandemic in between as well, but it's all been part of it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And congratulations on 3 years, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Sounds good. And could you say a bit more about like how and when you got started with all of this?
Yeah, so I think for me, being a kind of entrepreneur was something that was really kind of early on. I couldn't tell you an exact kind of age. I know a lot of kind of CEOs and entrepreneurs have that kind of age in their mind. Mine was quite young. I remember I wanted to, there was anything that I could seem to turn into money, I would try and do it. So I used to get old kind of computer products or old like TVs and things like that, and then rip out components and use those components for, maybe I was using them for projects, for example, but also using like some scrap metal, and I would kind of take that and sell that, or take things apart or fix iPhones, that back when that was a lot easier to do. So I used to make a bit of money there. And just these kind of smaller, little, quite insignificant things. And that's just kind of how it all started. I started being able to make my own money. I started my first job when I was 15, and I was working in a restaurant, very, very little hours on the weekend. But it was something that I just wanted to kind of be out there making money, learning new skills, meeting new people. And that's how it started for me. I don't know the kind of age in which it kind of, I don't think there was like a switch in any way, but there was definitely some, as long as I've known, it's definitely been there.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a gradual thing that was maybe there, like from very early on, and sort of developed over a few years. And how did everything come to the business that you're running now?
So very early on, so I went to university, studied software engineering. And then from there, it was my final year, and I was getting pressure from the university to go out and kind of apply for jobs and try to secure a graduate scheme. And I didn't want to do that, really. I was going to job interviews, but I wasn't really interested in any of the roles that I was applying for. The companies didn't really interest me in any way. So there was a lot of things at play that I really just wasn't into. So I said, okay, well, how can I actually not have to do that? And I saw a sign for entrepreneurship, or it was be your own boss, or run your own business, or something like that, something quite catchy that really caught my eye. And I saw the poster, and there was an email address on there, so I just wrote them an email and said, I've got some ideas, I've thought about running a company, is there something that you can kind of help with? And I set up a meeting with the person who was in charge at the time of running that. And I just had a conversation. I said, okay, well, this is my situation. These are the types of things I like doing, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I started building software because that was obviously my degree. That was my background. I learned how to make software. And I very quickly realized that software for businesses, especially startup businesses, is not something that they necessarily need very early on. That's quite a long-term play, and I really like working with startup businesses and small businesses. That's where we came from. They're the most fun, they have the most exciting ideas, but I couldn't build software for them because I wanted to build kind of really big software platforms that would have cost hundreds of thousands of pounds, but they couldn't afford £100. So there was this massive disconnect, so I had to realize that quite early on. And then from there, someone just came along and said, okay, well, have you ever built a website? And I said, no, but I can give it a go. And I had no idea what to charge, so I just kind of pulled out a figure and I said, okay, well, £200. And she was like, yeah, that's okay. And that was it. That was my first website. And then that was it, basically. We pivoted very early on to become, instead of being a software agency, became a web agency. And that's what we've been ever since, really.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. That sounds very good. You know, I actually started a little web design / marketing company a few years ago. It didn't go so well. But we focused on WordPress as well. And WordPress is something that you are working with at the moment, right? It's your specialty.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we only work with clients that use WordPress or that want to move to WordPress. It's the largest market share in terms of what's called content management systems. They own 60% of that market. So we thought it's the biggest, widest opportunity for us. It can be quite technical. It can also be very straightforward, depending on how you want to use it. It's obviously all open source, so there's all the code is there. You can edit, you can do the changes that you want. And there's very, very few limitations when it comes to WordPress. If you can think of it, there's a way that you can do it with WordPress, which is one of the best things for us, is that any client can come to us and say, okay, I've got this grand idea of what they want this site to look like. And because we use WordPress, we don't have to say no immediately. We can kind of actually consider it and think it through as an idea. WordPress has been phenomenal for us. And ever since because we were originally doing Shopify sites, Squarespace, Wix, we were doing everything. When we started going down WordPress, whilst we lost Shopify clients and Squarespace clients and everything like that, our WordPress clients actually went up. So we didn't actually really lose anything. There may have been a little bit in the middle where the kind of transition was happening, but long term, it was such a better play for us to actually move to be an exclusive WordPress agency.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, you can do a lot more with WordPress than Squarespace and Shopify and stuff, for sure. And what are the biggest challenges that you've faced in your journey so far?
I would say the biggest challenge for me probably was the kind of the shifting of mindset. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I never really knew what that meant. You know, I wanted to kind of be a business owner. I wanted to make money and have a nice car and have a nice house and do all that stuff. But there was no... That was all kind of very materialistic, kind of surface level stuff, which I don't think there's anything particularly wrong, especially when you're starting out. You need that vision to kind of drive towards. But then when I started hiring team members and when I started moving to bigger offices and doing all these different things and meeting new people, that it kind of changed for me a little bit. It was more around the people, and it was making sure that my team had everything and watching those guys develop and learn new skills. Like that's what it's about for me now, is more about the team than it is me as an individual, because I couldn't do what I do without them. They're vital to this company. And equally the same, like they couldn't, I'm the one that basically holds everything together, right? So I think that the biggest thing for me was learning how to basically become that person and not to be this solo entrepreneur that's going to kind of just go out and do his own thing, is to learn how to take team on and to step away from things and to kind of give away that control. It's that whole kind of mindset that kind of comes with being an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. I heard a piece of advice recently, which is that a good entrepreneur makes themselves redundant. So you have to like find all the different things you do and then find someone who's better than you at it.
Absolutely.
And sort of let them do it. Yeah. Absolutely. But it can be a big sort of shock, you know, when you're doing everything yourself and then suddenly someone else is coming and doing it in a different way. Yeah, for sure. And what has been your most satisfying moment so far?
Most satisfying moment. It's hard. It's hard to say. I wouldn't say that there's this one moment for me. I'm my own worst enemy when it comes to taking and celebrating things, right? That's a big thing for me that I just don't do. I don't celebrate the wins enough, which is something that I am trying to kind of work on. But I think one of the most recent thing, for example, was celebrating our third birthday. We've survived 14 months of a pandemic where everyone else was kind of shut down, and we've managed to actually thrive and grow as a company. We've grown 100% every year since we started. Like, things like that, those are the things that I'm kind of, I remember. I wouldn't say that there's one that sticks out the most. It's a good question. It's a really good question. I'm just trying to think of the best one, but I don't think there is one for me.
I think it's a good exercise then, and like, I can relate to that a lot, you know, especially recently with like not celebrating the wins enough, because then you kind of you achieve something, you're really happy, but you don't necessarily celebrate it enough, and then you achieve the next thing, and then it just kind of like your satisfaction decreases. I was actually listening to an audiobook not too long ago which like spoke about this, and it just says, well, I guess the way to solve it is just to celebrate your wins more, and that gets you back on track.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I heard this thing recently, and it was, remember a time where you wanted the things that you currently have, right? So remember the time where you were wishing for me, for example, right? I was wishing for a business that had 5 employees. I was wishing for a nice office in the center of Cardiff city center. That's where I live, right? I was dreaming of having my own property that I managed to buy, and things like that. Like, those, remember when I used to want those things, and trying to flash back to that and say, actually, yeah, well, you've managed to come this far. That's the problem with kind of high performing entrepreneurs, is that you're always kind of onto the next thing and onto the next thing and onto the next thing. So you don't actually take the time to kind of almost smell the roses, as a cliche as it sounds, but sometimes you just need to slow down and just say, actually, yeah, well, we did this and this, and well done. I think I give praise well where it's due. I think I'm quite good at that. I don't think I'm good at receiving praise though, but that's again something I got to work on.
Okay. And I mean, how are you in terms of giving praise to your team members versus giving praise to yourself?
Yeah, I think that I can identify when a job has been done well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, let's say, for example, a technical problem, right? If one of my technical guys can solve a problem, and I know that that would have taken me some serious time, and they've managed to do it in half the time because they've got more experience, I understand that that's a job well done, right? They've saved me half the time, plus they've got a problem solved for the client. It's a win-win. It's amazing and really good job. But for myself, I would have thought about that, and I said, oh, well, actually, I could have, if I learned a little bit more, if I studied this a little bit more, then I could have done it in half the amount of time if I would have done it.
Mm.
So there's I'm always my biggest critic when it comes to things like that, and I want so much more. That's the thing, is that I'm working off my own form of kind of, I want to be proud of myself. People tell me that they're proud of me and things like that, but it almost doesn't mean as much when I'm the one that's trying to be proud of myself the most. Does that make sense? That's a little bit backwards, but I want to be proud of myself, and then I'll understand why other people are proud of me.
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense. And that kind of mindset, I mean, it drives you to go far, but it's also, you know, you have to keep it in check, I find. I
mean, absolutely.
I find myself victim to this as well, for sure. And would you recommend entrepreneurship to others?
I think so. I think if you're not entrepreneurial, you're going to just work in a job that is just going to kind of pay you. You're going to do your 9-to-5. You're going to probably stay in a position that you kind of go in at very kind of entry level, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with. That's perfect for a lot of people. For me personally, it's not the kind of path that I wanted to go down. But I definitely think if people want to earn more money, if they want to have new experiences, have promotions, and all those kind of other things that we typically see as what is kind of like pursuing a greater kind of pursuit of kind of your career or your passion or whatever that looks like, you need to have some level of entrepreneurship. Whether you work within a company or whether you work for yourself, whether you have a business partner, whatever that looks like, you need to have some level of entrepreneurship. You need to understand because entrepreneurship isn't something that you're kind of born with. I personally, I think this is something that you learn. It's a set of skills that some people are better at than others, and that's why you get some entrepreneurs that are better than others. Don't get me wrong, I also think there is a clear difference between business owners and entrepreneurs. I think anyone can run a business, but you need to develop yourself to become an entrepreneur, right? A business owner can turn up, do the job that they've been told how to do. Technically, it's their business and they own that business. But if you want to kind of grow that business and scale it and try new ideas and bring out new products or introduce new services, that's where the kind of entrepreneurial side of things comes in. It's that risk-taking element as well, is that you don't know. Some people can live a completely happy life, just kind of waking up, open their business. People come in, they pay for service, product, whatever that is. They don't take any risk. They just kind of, they don't open up any more stores or anything like that. And that's completely fine for them. If that's the life that they want to live, gives them a tidy bit of money at the end of the month, great. But if you don't take that risk, that business isn't going to scale. It's not going to grow. Or if you don't take the risk to open up a second, third store, then it's always going to be the one store. It's always going to be limited with you, right? So that's where the kind of entrepreneurial thing, I think if you're looking to kind of grow and scale, then yeah, there is no way that you'll get that without being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And what or who like drives and motivates you? So by that I mean kind of what kind of drives you to keep going with your business? Because I'm sure, you know, as an entrepreneur, there are definitely ups, but there are definitely downs and hard times.
Absolutely. You can find like a driving factor in anything. And I don't have one particular thing that I can say, okay, that is my driving thing. I think I've got my family, so I can look at that, and I can look to my family and they drive me. And that's something that I work hard for, because I want to do a good job for them. I want to provide things for them, right? I want to, I don't know, go out and be able to buy a new house for my mum and dad, you know, that type of thing, or something similar, or more distant family that I haven't seen in a long time. I want to be able to kind of, they live in different parts of the world, so I want to be able to freely go and visit them without having to worry about paying £1,000 for a plane ticket or something, you know. So there's things like that. There's also like nieces and nephews that I've got, so younger children that I want to be able to provide for them as well long term. So if they wanted to go to university, being able to pay for that and not having to worry about that kind of financially. So there's sides of that that kind of drive me. My peers, so I say other people in business, so the people that I kind of look at and I say, okay, well, we're all in this, almost in this group of we're in completely different industries, completely different businesses, but we're all kind of at the same level. We're similar in age, or in, when I say age, in terms of business experience, right? So we've all been kind of doing it the same amount of time. I want to run as fast as I can with them, and that's just because I want to keep at that level. I want to keep performing and be alongside those people. There's people that I've never met, but maybe one day I hope I will. People like, my biggest one is Mark Cuban. I'm a huge Mark Cuban fan, right? I love him on Shark Tank. Obviously the Dallas Mavericks, if you're a basketball fan. There's so many different like elements of him, and how he conducts business is a massive thing for me, and I'm a huge fan of his. So it's, again, there's another thing there. I think even to the point of it's me, it kind of comes down to me. I think about the life that I want to live, and I don't ever want to get to an age where I look back at life and regret anything. That's my biggest, I would say my biggest fear, and one of my biggest driving factors is I don't want to ever be on my deathbed and go, actually, I could have done so much more. I could have had a different life than the one I have right now. I'm not saying that's kind of financial benefit or kind of materialistic, or just maybe there's just the people around me, or the business that I grow, or the impact that I have on the earth, or while I'm here, how much change I can introduce in people's lives. Like all those things all kind of come together, and that's what gets me out of bed when I've been working 16-hour days for 2 weeks straight and I haven't slept and I feel awful. But you have to go and you have to wake up and you have to go and do it again. And there's those are the harder days, but you've got to do them. You know, they're not going anywhere. Either do them or don't do them, but only one of those options is going to get you the result that you want.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think that leads quite well into this last question that I had, and that is, where do you see yourself and your business in the future? So 5 years, 10 years, or beyond there, if you've thought that.
Yes. Honestly, I haven't thought further than kind of 3 years to where we are now. Because you think 3 years is double, it's double the amount of, that's the whole time we've been running as a company, right? So that'd be double in terms of, instead of 3 years, it's now six. Like that's, it's mental to think how far we've come in 3 years. We've kind of got goals and milestones for this year that we want to hit. So we've got stuff like, I want to have 10 team members, 10 full-time team members by the end of this year, which I think is very doable. I want to be able to step away more from the business in terms of the actual day-to-day running of things and actually look to how I can grow and scale the company long-term. I think that's a big thing, by introducing new partners, different platforms, different offerings, different services. That's the type of thing that I am good at, and that's the thing that I wish I could be able to do more of, but because we're so busy right now, I'm hands-on dealing with things. So there's that side of things. I think we're in talks and we're exploring different ideas of different platforms. So we're looking to launch a brand new web platform over the next kind of couple of years. It's in the process of kind of going through development stages and prototyping and things like that right now. So we're going to be looking to launch that. It's not going to be this year, may not even be next year, but maybe the year after. But stuff like that, that's really exciting. It's super, super brand new technology that we'll be implementing. And that's the stuff that interests me, you know. It's the stuff that people aren't using or implementing, or the technologies that people have almost forgotten about, and the ways that we can use them. That's where I kind of see us. I think we're going to be more down the route of not just making websites that look pretty. I think we've definitely learned that our expertise comes around the problems that other agencies can't deal with. It's the super, super like technical things, the problem solving, the API calls, and the more advanced stuff that you won't be able to handle yourself, or smaller agencies or less educated agencies won't be able to handle. We're getting a lot of work for those types of tasks. Automation is a big one, and how people can kind of automate marketing efforts, email marketing, how they automate outreach and all these different things that we can use a website as almost as a hub that sits central with all these different elements. So that's been a massive thing. I think that's going to be the push now, is going to be those kind of automations, the technical APIs and things like that, and then also the kind of the other platform, this software platform that we're in the process of developing now. So I think we've got an interesting couple of years ahead, to say the least.
It's sounding good, and it sounds like, I mean, like you say, you've only been running for 3 years. Like, in 3 years' time, it'll be a whole different thing again. Are you happy to share a bit more about this new platform that you're developing, or is that something that's top secret for now?
It's still quiet. Yeah, we're still very early stages. It's going to be, it's similar to the industry that we're in right now. We're looking to, so there's the kind of the clues right now. So we've seen the market shifting towards kind of automation and kind of optimization of content. So I don't know how kind of familiar you are with Google right now, but there's a big push in terms of SEO, in terms of content and how good content is. So there's big kind of pushes on that. So there's your kind of clues. So it's the kind of automation, it's the content. And obviously we're an agency, we're a web agency. So again, we're kind of tying those three things all together. And it's going to be this kind of platform. So it's as much as you'll get out of me right now.
Okay. Well, it sounds exciting.
It's going to be cool.
Absolutely. Well, Dominic, thank you very much for doing this interview. It's been really interesting to find out even more about you. Yes. And thank you very much.
Cool.
I think that's
Cheers,
it.
Man. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Take care.